Oh, there's one. There we go. But we're glad to have them in town for this weekend. We'll hear from them a little bit tonight. Have them testify, and sing, or I don't know. We'll have them do something. Who knows? But we'll hear from them tonight. But glad to have them in town. And I've been there, and it's always glad to be in town when you're one of them Bible school students. Amen. But we're glad to have them here, and we'll try and get something out of them here tonight. Now, if you want to get in your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, I'd ask you to pray for my voice here as we get started. I've been fighting. I don't know what I'm fighting, but whatever it is, it's winning right now. And so I'd appreciate you praying the Lord to help my voice so we can get through this today. Man, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 11, man, those of you that have not heard, the pastor is out of town. That's why he got me. Man, but I get told that I look and act like him, so you might just not even realize it's him, not him here. But okay, I'm better looking, I'll admit it. Luke chapter 15, I better get started before I say something even worse and get in trouble. But Luke chapter 15, we'll start there in verse 11. Amen. It's the story of the good Samaritan. Oh, Lord help us. The prodigal son here. Sitting there in verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and put shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. They began to be merry." Amen. I simply want to preach to you a little bit today, and I've given it my own little title, and I want to call it the Prodigal Quotes. And you know, I simply want to look at things that were said by this young man that had left home. This story is a very common story. It's a very popular story. And at one time, someone asked Charles Dickens, that famous writer, they asked him, they said, what is the most popular story? What is the best story that was ever written in the English language? And he looked at them and he said, it was without a doubt the prodigal son. I mean, it's a story of a father's love and a young man's foolishness, but is it a perfect illustration of God's willingness to reach out to us where we are? Amen. It is a story of God's forgiveness. Amen. The first thing I see in this story is I see the restlessness of sin. I see this young man as he says to his father, "Give me, give me." You know, this is the common phrase of sin. Sin is something that is constantly desiring for more. Sin is that decaying thing inside of man that is constantly desiring something else that it could take and take for its own earthly pleasure. You know, a sin is something that's why you see people in such bad conditions today. It's because that they are not satisfied with where they are. They're not satisfied with what little pleasure they are receiving from this place that they are in. But there's something inside of them that is constantly crying out for more, more joy, more pleasure, more satisfaction. Amen. There's something inside of man that is continually crying out that it may be satisfied. It is this cry of sin. It is this cry of please me, of satisfy me, of make me happy. And we see this in this young man in this story. He goes to his father and he says, give me. He tells him to give me the inheritance. He's desiring that which was rightfully his in the first place. But it's the selfishness of this young man that causes him to ask for this. You know, this father, it doesn't give us much of a background, but it becomes pretty apparent that he's probably fairly wealthy, probably has a little bit of a living to him. And this young man, I'm sure if his father had money, he was not holding back from. He wasn't, you know, making him live destitute. I'm sure this young man was provided for and taken care of. But even in this place, that this young man, there was something inside of him that grew discontent with what he had, that grew not quite enjoying what he already had at his fingertips. And you see him crying out, forgive me more. He is desiring the more. Oh, and you know, it's so often we see the person in sin, that they're on their way away from God. Amen. Maybe it's a young person that grows up in church. They know the things of God. They're taken care of throughout their life to know the things of God. Oh, but there's something else inside of them that cries out to give me. Oh, I see it so often in our churches today. Even the saints, they desire more than what they can receive in an altar. They desire something else than what they can receive where they are already. And they get to this place where their constant desire is that they might receive something else. Oh, I'd ask that we could all get away from this restlessness of sin that gets a grip in our lives. Sin is selfish and it desires everything it can possibly obtain with the guarantee of no return. Have you ever had a friend that liked to borrow money? You ever have one of them? Somebody that, hey, can I borrow $5? I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. Oh, those are famous words. I'll pay you back. Man, I wish we had a dollar for every time somebody said those to us and we never saw it again. But you know, that's the way sin is. It demands something of us with telling us it'll give us something in the end. But when it all comes down to it, we find ourselves empty and hopeless when it's all coming to an end there. And man, the next thing I see is the roaming of the sinner. Because it says that he went into the far country. Amen. You know, I already told you, sin is something it desires. It's constantly seeking. It's constantly desiring something else. Oh, and I wish that we could take this to an end. But you know, no matter what happens, sin is a prospecting thing. It is constantly searching for more. You can read books about those that went in the gold rush, you know, and they were looking for something greater. They're looking for something more that could bring them wealth, that could bring them happiness. And, you know, they were prospecting. They go from one place searching, trying to find just that little bit of gold. They go to another stream, maybe another cave somewhere else, searching, trying to find, digging through the muck and the mire of this earth, trying to find something precious. Oh, the sinner is the same way. The sinner goes from place to place, from earthly place to earthly place, trying to find something that will bring them joy, that will bring them satisfaction. Oh, I've seen it before. I've seen young men. They couldn't find it. They couldn't find it in drugs. They couldn't find it in alcohol. They couldn't find it in immorality. Oh, but they constantly searched. Their lack of finding something did not slow down their searching, but it urged them that much more that they desired to find something of this world that could bring them happiness. Oh, how we see this in this young man. He couldn't just stay at the father's house, but he desired what he could of him, and he went on his way trying to find something to bring joy to this helpless soul. Oh, I know that there's many here today that you may have been at that place in your life, and we could hear testimony of those that you could tell us how far you went searching and longing for something that would satisfy that craving inside of you. Oh, but in sin, there is no satisfaction. It is nothing but longing. It is nothing but searching and that prospecting. There will never be true happiness found. You know, I read a story one time by Jack London. And it was about a man that was searching for gold. He was a, excuse me. He was searching for gold. He was in California at that time of the gold rush. And he'd been looking, and he thought he finally found something. He'd given all his goods, all of his earthly possessions that he could get out there and try it with the hope of finding something that would satisfy him and give him the wealth he was needing. He went out and he'd search and he'd search with to no avail. He was down to his last dollar. And he was down to that point where he was willing just to give anything, just to find something. And he got down and he was searching. He was going through with his pan. And the story went on that he was shaking gravel out through his pan with the hope that he could find something or another that could bring him a little bit of wealth, a little bit of joy. And he goes through, he looks a little bit farther, keeps going, and he finally thinks he finds something. And constantly he worked his way up this river thinking he was finding something. He was putting it in his pouch, and he thought he was finding this thing. He was so happy, so excited, because he thought he found the vein of gold that he was searching for. He went through, he's filling his pouch, going through constantly, just trying to get all he could before he had to go. And when he went back, he found out that it was nothing but what we would call fool's gold. And he said he found that there was nothing more there. He was no wealthier. He had nothing more to his name than what he did when he first started. And he was heartbroken once again. That's the way that the sinner is. They search and they search and they search, and it demands everything of them that they have. And when they finally think they find something to satisfy, they finally think they find something to bring that little bit of peace into their life, they find that they are once again right where they started. Amen. I also see this ruin of the soul. This man, he was not only restless, and he didn't just find roaming, but he was also in ruin. You go on, it says, I perish. I perish. So this is the problem of sin. Because no matter what, no matter who, it always ends up with this common saying of I perish. Oh, I wish that we could get to that sinners could see this place further long before they ever get there. Because no matter how far or how long they go in sin, it's always going to be the final saying of the sinner is, I perish. There is no joy. There is no satisfaction. And they finally reach an all-time low. They finally reach the bottom, and they realize that they are perishing, that there is nowhere else to go. There is no satisfaction. There is no joy. There is no pleasure in sin before a short time. Oh, and we find this sinner in this place where he says, I perish in where I am. You know, we see here, this is the commonly sung song of a sinner. And I hear this from men inside. I used to hear this from men inside jails all the time. They wouldn't say, I perish, but they'd say, it's all over for me. It's all done for me. There's no more hope for me. You know, it's what a sinner feels. They reach everywhere that they think that they could ever get to. They try every joy. They try every pleasure, and they get everything they can out of it. But when it's all done, they're to a place where they say, I perish. It's all coming to an end in me, and there's nowhere else I can go. You know, suicide has gone up more than 3 times in the last 30 years. I believe that is a testament that there is a part in sinners that they get to a place where they feel there's no more hope in this world. You know, it is something that is so common for us to hear about those people that are so ruined, and we think in our own carnal minds, well, they should have made better choices. They shouldn't have allowed themselves to become addicted to that drug or to be bound by those sins. And we shake it off to that. Oh, but it is no more than just that thing inside every one of us, and we're only saved by the blood of Jesus. But these men and women that have not found Christ yet, they're are continually searching, and they have found themselves to be in this place of perishing. Amen. There's that song, Rescue the Perishing. Amen. I believe that's what Christ is trying to do today. He's reaching out to those that feel as if they are perishing in the place they've gotten themselves into in their lives. And He desires that He may work in their life to rescue the perishing. Oh, you know, I look on just a little bit farther there and I see the repentance of the sinner though. Amen. This is where the story begins to be good. Amen. As you see this young man that had everything and he threw it away, seeking, desiring, trying to find something. Oh, but when you get to this place, he comes to his father and says, I have sinned. Oh, he told his father. The father knew where he was. The father knew where he was at in his life. And he knew that he'd done wrong. But it took this young man's confession of wrong before he could ever get to become better. It took this young man admitting that he was in sin, that he was in a down part of his life, and he needed the Father to intervene for him. Oh, each and every one of us, we've been in a place in our lives that if it was not for the intervention of the Father, we would have been lost forever. Oh, but I thank God that He is able to come in. If we come to Him, He's able to take us where we are. He is able to place that robe around us once again. He's able to use us. He's able to take us back in and say, my son is back. Amen. I'm so thankful that I serve a Father that is willing to allow me to repent and be back where I need to be in my life. Oh, you see here, he comes to him and he remembers right where he is. It says that he came to himself. Oh, this young man, I believe that as he was feeding those pigs, as he was going along work on that farm or whatever it may have been, it crossed his mind time and time again how he'd walked across the Father's farm and how good he'd had it when he was at the Father's house. Oh, and something got inside of him that said, oh, I just wish I could be home again. I just wish I could feel the love of my Father one more time. And something got inside of him desiring to be with his Father again. Oh, it's the same way it is with sinners. They realize as they go through this world and they see the torment and the pain that they are in, and they realize there's no joy, but there's something inside of them that points to something greater than what is on this earth, something that is greater than what they've already found, and they realize that there is something that they can go to. Oh, that's my word for you today. If you're here, you've been seeking, you've been searching, trying to find the joy and the happiness in your life, and you've not found it anywhere, I want to tell you today, church, that there is one that you can go to, and He is there waiting, looking, searching for you to take you in once again with open arms, just like the Father. Amen. We see here that he not only remembered and he repents to his Father, and he knew he did wrong, and he came to a place where he wasn't coming with selfish desire. You see, that's what we see with this young man who was constantly looking on the inward. He was constantly desiring more for himself. But at this point, he says, just let me be a hired servant. Let me be the lowest of the lowest. But please, just let me in. Oh, that's what it takes. When you realize you've been in the wrong, you've been in sin, just come to Jesus, friend. Let Him know you realize you ain't worthy of anything He will give you. You aren't worthy of anything He is going to offer you. Oh, but I believe that as a father knows how to give a good gift, I believe our Father knows how to come by for His children's needs as well. And I believe He's able to help us. And if we would simply come to Him, saying, Lord, here I am, a sinner and not worthy to be your child, a sinner not worthy to be that child of the King, but let me just come and sit at your feet. Let me just come and work for you. Amen. That's what the Father's looking for today, is people that say, I'm not worthy to be a child. Oh, but if I could just be in the household of the Master.
pastor. I can have joy once again. Oh, if we could come into the house of God, if we could come to Him today and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Oh, but if you'll just take me in, if you'll just allow me to sleep in your home, oh, I'll be in joy once again. Amen. But we don't just see this Father allowing him to be the servant. We don't see him allowing him to simply sleep in a stable, but we see the restoration of the Savior. Amen. I'm so glad that we serve a God that will restore us. He will come into our lives and he will make us greater than what we were before. Amen. You know, I've made jokes already about my parents being gone and how much you're going to appreciate them more when they get back. You know, and this father, he looked at this son that he'd missed and he had thought about him each and every day. And I believe this father had dwelled on every good thing he could think about that boy. He realized how good of a kid he really was. He dwelled on every good thing there was about him. And when that boy came into his home desiring to be with him once again, I think that's what caused him to love him so much. He said, son, I love you and I'll do anything just to have you back in my home. I want to tell you, sinner, if you're here today, I want to tell you that God is not going to point out your faults. He's not going to point out your failures. Oh, but he's dwelling on the good you'll be for him. He's dwelling on the good things that you can do for him today. And he's desiring to restore you, that he can work in you and use you today. Amen. I see that there is restoration in the Savior. He goes on. This father speaks and he said, my son was dead and is alive again. Amen. You've been walking around in sin for a long time and you're dead in your spirit. You can't feel anything. Oh, you feel numb inside. Everything you've done, everything you've reached out to has brought no joy and no contentment. Oh, but I want to tell you today that when the Father comes in, he restores you to where you're better than you ever was before. Amen. I work for Brother Justin Shear in the church, and we've been working for this man that he buys repossessed homes and foreclosed homes, and he fixes them up and sells them. And the real word for it would be restoration. Amen. What he goes into these homes and he sees what they are and he desires to make them better than what they are when he gets them. Amen. I believe we serve a God that if we'll go in, that he comes into your life, he sees what's wrong. He recognizes the failures and the troubles and the trials and the addictions and the issues in your life, but he's not willing to live with that. He sees a way that he's able to build you up where you can sit right at the Father's table and look as good as anyone else around. He sees a way that he can make you a son again. He sees a way he can restore you to fullness. Amen. Let me tell you, sinner, if you're here today, God loves you and we love you. We desire that God could work in you to make you that child of the King once again. Amen. I believe we serve a God that loves us. Amen. It's at common times today you hear churches that dwell on the love, and they say everybody's going to make it, and we condemn them because we don't believe that. We believe you have to have a life that's centered around Christ, but we forget how loving Jesus really is. We forget about the love he really does have for us. And I want to tell you today that God is love. He is a father that cares for his children, and if you'll come into him today, he will restore you once again. Amen. If you'd all stand. I realize this is early, but I like to give us time to pray before the buses have to go. Amen. I'd ask that. I'm going to ask for every head bowed and eyes closed. I don't normally do that, but the Lord's been dealing with my heart that there's going to be sinners here today. There's going to be those here that they've wandered from the Father's house desiring the things of this world, and they've realized there was nothing there. They've not found a thing that's really satisfied them. And I'd ask that if you're here and you're in that place in your life, I simply want to pray with you. And if you'd raise your hand, that I could pray with you. We could ask God to do a work in you today. You say, Brother Nathan, I'm raising my hand as a statement that I want God to work in me once again. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that there is a Father that is waiting with open arms. He saw His Son afar off. Amen. I believe He was looking every day. He was searching, looking down the road, expecting His Son to come home. And I want to tell you today that God has been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you that He can welcome you with open arms again. Amen. Those of you your hands, I'm going to ask you to come along with everybody else. Oh, church, why don't we all come around the altars now, and we can just ask God that He could work in us. Amen. Oh, those of you that raised your hands, come and ask God to take you back once again. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Come home. Satan.